Galatians chapter number 4, 9 to 11. But now, after you have known God, or rather unknown by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? Those who turn back to the law, they desire again to be in bondage. They take themselves again into bondage. You observe days and months and seasons and years, Sabbaths, Feast of Israel, Jewish dress code, prayer shawls, you name all of these things. And all these things were stipulated by the law. The Sabbath was stipulated by the law. The feast was stipulated by the law. Paul says, you are taking yourself back into bondage. To this day, Christians are still observing these things. To this day, Christians are still giving offering because of a particular feast. You watch television, you watch everywhere, you listen everywhere. People are being taught these things, and they are told to give because God is going to do something, because it's this season, it is this time, it is this month. This is the year of what? So you must give this particular amount. It's happening. Just go and watch your Christian television. Paul says, you are taking the people back to the weak and beggarly elements, where you are putting them back into bondage again. Back into bondage. These things were stipulated by law. Christ has fulfilled the law. Can I see that? Christ says what? Galatians 2:17 in the Amplified says, such things are only a shadow of what is to come, and they have only symbolic value. But the substance, the reality of what is foreshadowed belongs to Christ. Why? Why leave Christ? Listen, I'm standing here and this is my shadow. You leave me, you bypass me, you go into my shadow. Because that's what they are doing. They are going back to the weak and beggarly elements. They are taking people back into bondage. They are leaving the reality. They are leaving the substance. Jesus has come. Jesus is here. But they are leaving Jesus. They are going to worship the shadow. That is what religion does exactly. Religion always leaves God and goes to the shadow. What does religion do? That's why they will give you water, because they're going for the shadow. That's why they will give you oil, because they're going for the shadow. That's why they're going to give you stickers, because they're going for the shadow. That's why they're going to give you stones, they're going to give you salt, and all these other abominable things. Leaving the shadow, leaving the substance, leaving the reality, who is Christ Jesus. And they are doing well, they are thriving because of the ignorance of the people. Hallelujah. You observe days. These are the Jewish days, the Jewish months, the Jewish seasons, the Jewish years. You know the names, I don't, and I don't care. It says these things, they foreshadowed the reality, the substance, who is Christ, who has now come. Who has now come? There is no special holiday for a believer. Every day is holy to a believer. Every day is special to a believer. Am I talking to you? There is no longer a special holiday for a child of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. What day is that? That is the day of Jesus Christ. And the day of Jesus Christ is every day that you are alive as a believer. Every day is holy and special to a child of God. Paul said in verse number 11, I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. He says, I'm afraid lest my labor on you have become null and void. That means the devil has won. He has won you over. You've gone back to things that you're not supposed to go back to. It tells them the law has a curse. Who would want to go and place themselves under a curse again? So it says, how foolish can you become? Now, verse number 17 says, they zealously caught you. Talk about the Judaizers, the false teachers. These are the ones that says faith only is not enough. Although now you are born again, now you are a Christian, but you must still observe some parts of the law. For an example, in this case, he had a serious issue to deal with here because they were forcing Christians, these false teachers, they were forcing them to say, okay, fine, you are a Christian, but you must still go and circumcise. You are a Christian, but you must still go and worship in the temple. Don't leave worshiping in the temple. You bring yourself under a curse. They zealously caught you. Listen to what it says. But not for good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. Aha. You see, they are taking you from the substance. Every religious cult leader leads people unto themselves and not unto God. There is something they hold. See, they want you to be zealous for them and not zealous for God. Every religious legalistic cult leader is like that. They're all the same. Even Paul had to deal with them. Can you see? Even Paul had to deal with them. The Judaizers. Number 19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Listen what it says. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. This is evidence. This is proof that they had gone back to the law, that they had fallen from the grace, that they had backslidden. It says, for whom I must labor in birth again until these guys have already, they had already backslidden. They'd already fallen from the grace. Which is what we do, we Christians. When you go back to the things that Jesus Christ had has saved us from, has delivered us from. This is what we do as Christians. Oh, I miss the church I was born in, where we wear a white and blue uniform. I miss the church where I started from, where we beat drums. Do you know of what spirit you are off at that point? When you miss these things, when you desire to go back. Now, you're forgetting to remember while you were there. How did these things profit you? Nothing. But now you long to go back. Then the devil is all over you. My little children, these are babies in Christ. Those who backslide are babies in Christ. Those who go back are babies. Those who follow the law are babies. Even if you are a pastor, you are a prophet, you are a bishop, you are running a church, you've got 5,000 members. If you're teaching the law, if you are going to the law, you're taking people to the law, you are a little baby. My little children. Pastor, you little child. Pastor is a little child. Prophet is a little child. This prophet, this pastor, this bishop, we Christians, we need to labor in birth again for them until Christ is formed in them. Because these guys have long missed the way. Am I talking to someone here? Taking people to Jerusalem to learn the way of life of the Jews. To learn the behavior of the Jews. To learn the conduct of the Jews. You have fallen from grace. You have fallen from grace. You have fallen from grace. Hallelujah. To pray and shake like the Jews. Do you know why they pray and shake like that? Nothing they do that has no meaning. Everything is legally steeped. Everything is legally steeped. Don't just copy things you don't know. They're legally steeped. Fallen from the grace. Tell a neighbor, say freedom from the law. Galatians chapter number 5. our last chapter for today. Because people, when suddenly they've got very strange and funny revelations, they dig their way, they claw their way back into the law. Amazingly, when they've got these sudden epiphanies, they begin to claw back into the law. They've got these epiphanies, supposedly from God, that now we are no longer going to worship on Sunday, we're going to worship on Saturday, because Saturday is a Sabbath. A whole Christian church. Now suddenly we're not going to wear shoes when we come into the holy place, when we come into the house of the Lord, because it's holy. So you all leave shoes outside. These epiphanies, strange, really strange, funny revelations, they don't come from God, they come from the devil. Understand, the law has got one thing and one thing only. The law has got bondage. They are just putting people under bondage. The devil wants to put people in bondage. It's just bondage. They have epiphanies, have revelation that God has told them that every woman must cover their head. There are churches like that. You cannot come as a woman with your head uncovered. Some churches, there are divisions, men this side, women this side. Supposedly, that's a revelation the leader of the church got from the Holy Spirit or got from God. There's no God like that. There's no Holy Spirit like that. There are churches where a woman can never stand where men are at the pulpit and begin to preach. A woman can never stand at the pulpit. And this is a supposedly Christian church. This is a supposedly spirit-filled church where no woman can stand at the pulpit because it is not allowed for a woman to teach a man. A woman must be submissive at home. She must learn the word of God from her husband. I don't know which word of God I'm going to learn from my husband who doesn't know the word himself. So what happens if the woman knows the word more than the husband? Churches gone back to the law. Holy Spirit is grieved and quenched. In that place, remember it says, he who supplies. God cannot supply the Holy Spirit there. Without the Holy Spirit, there are no miracles. None whatsoever. Notice all these churches, they don't have miracles. They've got faked miracles. Abangizo. Notice all these funny churches, they don't have miracles. Everything is fake there. It's money that works in these churches. They pay people to testify. They pay people to fake healing. They pay people to fake miracles. People are paid. It's money that works. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has been throttled out. It's been throttled out. Cannot be in such a place. Are we together, my lovely friends? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. The spirit of religion is a terrible spirit. There are Christians who can never pray without the prayer shawl. Can never. You know how expensive that thing is? It's got no prayer shawl, has no service, has got no purpose in the true church of Jesus. Prayer shawl has no service, has no purpose to a believer. Even these crucifixes that you wear, they are merely for fashion. These crucifixes you wear, it's merely for fashion. There's no power there. Satan cares nothing about the crucifix. It's for fashion, honestly, just for fashion. There's nothing wrong. Fashion is good. And if you want to make a statement that I'm a Christian, nothing wrong. But don't ever deceive yourself that there's any power. There isn't. If you want to make a statement, of course. Of course. But power, no. Because if you think there's power in a crucifix, you're back to religion. all this Jewish attire that Christians are now buying. With the tassels, I don't know what they call those things that flow. No service, no purpose, no power to a believer. Why? Because all those things were shadows. Now we are leaving the substance, we're going for the shadow. The spirit of religion is intransigent. That means it's stubborn. Even although we are really, honestly, and truly, and sincerely, and truthfully born again, but some of us, we still have got stubborn residues of the spirit of religion in us. It's a fact. Stubborn residues. If we go to our homes, there's some item of spiritual connection somewhere. If we go to our homes, there's some item of spiritual connection somewhere. What is that? The spirit of religion. It's a very stubborn spirit to break. It's very stubborn. Very stubborn. What are we saying? We are saying, do not bypass. Do those things if you want to, until God reveals to you. But what we are earnestly begging you, do not bypass the substance and go for the shadow. Because then you are deceived. Do not bypass the substance. Mm-mm. Don't bypass Jesus and go for the shadow of Jesus. The shadow has got no power anymore. In fact, the shadow was never meant to carry power. The substance has the power, not the shadow. It's the other way around. The substance has the power and not the shadow. No, not the shadow. Hallelujah. But religion always wants to camp on the shadow. That's religion. What does religion want? That's why when we build churches, they've got steeples outside. Come on. We build churches, a church must be built in a particular way. A sharp pointed end somewhere. There must be a symbol of the cross outside. Why? Because we are religious. That's not spiritual. Our churches must always have a crucifix outside. The devil knows where there is life. The crucifix does not lead the devil to say there's Christ here. No. Now we say no, so that the demons, they know. Then our protection is on the crucifix, not in Christ. That's how I want to put it. We are not content until we put it. For deco, yes. That one is for deco, that one. That's decoration. I'm the one who put it there. There's a lady who gave it to me. She gave even smaller ones when we were still at Rivoli. She came and gave them to me. So like, it's a gift. I can't throw it away. I can't burn it. It doesn't hurt. It's good for fashion. In this church, that's fashion. There's no power there. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Do not entangle yourself again with the law. Do not entangle yourself again with rules, with regulations. Do not entangle yourself again with these weak and beggarly elements. Do not entangle yourself again. Now, you know, this tells me something. This is probably the reason why this man, Paul, this man of God, attracted so much persecution. Because there was not even one little tiny bone of religion in him. There was no religion in Paul. So he was offending religious people everywhere he went. Paul was offending religious people everywhere he went. Everywhere he went. Maybe that's why there was so much persecution. Because this man of God was a purist. Paul was a what? A purist. When he was a Pharisee, he was a purist. Either Judaism or nothing. And if you disagree, he's going to come and arrest you. He's going to take you to people that are going to kill you. When they pass on you a death sentence, Paul was going to raise his hand in agreement. He was a purist. And that is why when he became a Christian, he became a purist still. A purist. He was a purist. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. A purist. That was his nature. He was a purist by nature. Do not entangle yourself with the law again. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Can you see that? So there were teachers that were telling the people, that were bothering the people, that were troubling the people, that they cannot completely depart from the law of Moses. At least they had to circumcise, although they were Christians. They had to do something. Now Paul is saying, indeed I, Paul, I say to you that if you become circumcised, trying to follow the stipulations of the law, Christ will profit you nothing. There is no circumcision in Christ. There is not even one tittle, not one little jot of the law in Christ. In the gospel is only faith. Righteousness is by faith and faith only. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor. He's obligated, he's forced to keep the whole law. It says you cannot do small when it comes to the law. You cannot do one thing and leave the rest. No. James told us. Says if a man can keep the whole law but stumble in one little thing, this one has transgressed the whole law. The law has a curse in that sense because it's impossible for men to keep the law. The law was not designed that flesh and blood should keep it. Glory to God. It says, what purpose then did the law serve? It says the law was added. It was appended. It was attached until the seed should come. Hallelujah. Having therefore an expiration date. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You have been separated. You have become enemies. You have become an enemy of Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law. You who attempt to keep the law. You who take some parts, some bits, some pieces of the law. You have become an enemy of Christ. You attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. My little children, for whom I labor in birth until Christ be formed in you again. My little children, why I labor again in birth? Because you have fallen from grace. You try to be justified by the law. Hallelujah. Justification is only by faith. In verse number 5, he says, for we through the Spirit, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Righteousness is by faith and faith alone. Justification is by faith and by faith alone. Are we together in this place? Verse number 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little teaching of the law, a little dabbling into the law, he says, will corrupt your whole life. A little leaven leavens. A little bit of wrong teaching. A little bit of dabbling into the law, it will corrupt your entire life. Can you see? That's why those who are trying to keep the law, although they are born again, number one, he said they're under curse. Number two, he said they've fallen from the grace. And number three is this, they grieve and they quench the Spirit of the Lord. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That means you corrupt your whole life by these little bits and pieces of the law that you're trying to pursue, that you're trying to keep, that you're trying to observe. These months, these seasons, these days, these years, these Jewish feasts, these dress codes, and all of these things, these practices, this thing that you are trying to do. He says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Do you hear what the Spirit of God is saying in this place? Sure. Number 10, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. You see, they were troubled by false teachers. They were troubling the children of Paul in the faith. Just as it is, some of us, we are troubled by our own pastors. We are sincerely, truthfully born again, but our pastors are putting again on us the yoke of bondage. They are again now leading us to the law, leading us to the weak and beggarly elements. A little lump, a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. A little wrong teaching about the law, a little wrong instruction about the law, it will corrupt the entire person. It will corrupt the entire person. It brings destruction. The law destroys and destroys utterly. The law has a penalty. The law puts a penalty on transgression. The law puts a penalty on sin. And the penalty of sin is death, corruption, destruction. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? If I was agreeing with the people that wanted to be circumcised, why are these people still persecuting me? They are persecuting me because I tell you that you don't need to keep the law. You're no longer under the law. As a result, they are persecuting me. So if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. He says the offense of the cross has ceased. If I do not suffer persecution, if I preach circumcision, then these guys will be my friends. Some of us, we are friends of the world. We suffer no persecution. Therefore, on us, the offense of the cross has ceased. We are friends with the world. James says, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? But we suffer no persecution because we are friends with the world. We are friends with wrong teachers. We agree with everything that they say, and we even do it ourselves. But not so with this man who is Paul, who was quite a pedantic man of God. He was a purist. He was pure in his beliefs. Now he says, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Now this is a pun. This is just a play of words to say, I wish those who want to cut off your foreskin, they would cut themselves off. That they would just go and kill themselves. I like that. They would just go and kill themselves. Hallelujah. Verse number what? 13, right? For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as opportunity for the flesh. We've been called to liberty. We've been called to grace. We stand in the grace of the Lord. We are not under law, but we're in grace. But grace is not lawlessness. Grace is not liberty for us to indulge the sinful desires of our flesh. Grace is not liberty for us to sin freely. I say grace is not liberty. Grace is not liberty for us to sin freely as and when we please. See, here's the thing. The law demands strict obedience. Right? But the law does not give power to obey. However, grace is not lawlessness. The grace of God still demands obedience. There is obedience demanded in grace, but the only difference between grace and the law is that grace of God gives us the power to obey. Can you see that? There is obedience in the kingdom of God. The Lord demands obedience, but the Lord does not give us the power to be able to obey. But grace, on the other hand, gives us the power to obey the word of God. So grace is not lawlessness, believers. Grace is not lawlessness, saints. Am I talking to people of God? Finally, Ezekiel 36, 27, Philippians 2, 13, Romans 8, 13. Ezekiel 26, 27, Philippians 2, 13, Romans 8, 13. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and will keep my judgments to do them. How will you do that? God says, I will empower you. I will give you power to obey me. Can you see that? That's called the grace of God. God says, no. Now that you are in grace, this does not mean that there's no obedience. This does not mean that in grace there's lawlessness. But in grace, I give you the power to obey my word. Can you see that? I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. How will you do that? By the Holy Spirit I give you. Number two, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So in a way, children of God, the Lord God Almighty is our lawgiver and our lawkeeper. Can you see that? God is our lawgiver and our lawkeeper. Under the law, the Lord was a lawgiver. Under grace, God is both the lawgiver and the lawkeeper. That's why we call it grace. I said that's why we call it grace. That's why we call it the good news. Because the God who gives me his word, he also has given me the Holy Spirit who causes me to obey the word. For it is God who works in you both to do and to will. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, or if by the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the flesh, the desires of the sinful nature, you will live. You see, by the power. God says, I don't want this. God hates sin. He says, I don't want sin. But God says, by the power of my Holy Spirit, you will crucify, you will mortify, you will put to death the desires of your sinful nature. Therefore, God is my lawgiver and my lawkeeper, and I rest my case. Oh, hallelujah.